Hello and welcome to Unmuted Unmastered. I'm Will and this is the internet's most postal music podcast. On the show this week I'm joined by James.
Hello.
And Elle.
Hiya.
In this episode we're going to be reviewing the new album by Sprint. We've got the upcoming releases you need to know about, but first the news. James, what have you got for us this week?
This week there has surprisingly hasn't been that much. I guess it's been like the holidays and I don't know, not much business has been going on.
However, everyone's been watching the Channel 4 post office documentary.
I've heard about that, but I have not watched it. SoundCloud is reportedly going up for sale, and it's predicted that it would fetch up to £1 billion. This is after Rain Group and Temasek Holdings, who invested in SoundCloud in 2017, when the business was reportedly on the brink of collapse. They've begun interviewing investment banks about a prospective auction of the company. And this is after SoundCloud laid off just under 10% of its workforce. We've seen this from Bandcamp and other companies just before they start selling. And that was like 3 or 4 days ago, but recently, I think today, SoundCloud has just hired former Cobalt executive Tom Sansone as its new CFO/COO, and that's effective immediately. So he's in that role right now. So, yeah, this means something because he's been a big part of like transactions while at Cobalt. The SoundCloud CEO, Elijah Seton, has said Tom is a proven global executive with a highly differentiated and relevant skill set that includes accelerating business transformation, establishing operational and financial discipline, and executing strategic alternatives. That's a lot of long words. The CEO has also said that SoundCloud are only he's heard the stories about SoundCloud buying, but he's saying yeah, it's only if the firm's board can find the right long term buyer. He's also continued to say to realize the commercial opportunity ahead of us, now is the time to consider all potential strategic alternatives that may mean SoundCloud being acquisitive, buying things ourselves. It may mean raising new capital. It may mean striking new strategic or financial partnerships, or a combination of the two. Or it may mean the sale of the company to the right long-term buyer. So he's saying SoundCloud is not for sure gonna sell this year. There might be other things that's gonna happen. But I'm getting the sense that, yeah, they'll probably be on sale sometime this year. But yeah, we'll see. I don't really know what it could bring. It's all just kind of speculation right now. It might bring some new things, good or bad.
SoundCloud's an interesting one because it's kind of got its own niche in the market a bit, but not like quite so much that it feels completely separate or is completely separate from kind of the same whims and stuff that the other streaming services are subject to. But I don't know, it just has this odd space between kind of being a bit more like YouTube, like normal YouTube, and then kind of being a bit more like a Spotify, being somewhere between, and they've got some of their market is in being a streaming service and some of their businesses being like the portal for artists to release their music through, and they've done some kind of interesting stuff in the past in that space as well. So I find it maybe a bit hard to see where they'd want to go, or I mean their CEO is talking about acquisitions. I don't know if that's him just trying to make sure that the company looks viable and interesting so that people will want to buy it, or if that's genuine, but I struggle to get a handle on what kind of acquisitions they'd want to make. Like with Spotify, I kind of understand it, right? They acquired a bunch of podcasting things and stuff like that. But with SoundCloud, I don't know what they'd be buying. And I, other than maybe someone who was like a big tech company who was interested in getting into the streaming space or something like that, or a company that wanted to get into the back end of music releasing, I just struggled to think of a suitable buyer that's not just going to be like an investment group that's going to kind of break it down and sell it for parts eventually.
Yeah, SoundCloud has kind of evolved over the years. It used to just be you throw your music up on there for free, and then you have these SoundCloud rappers who come from nothing. But I think in more recent years, maybe from 2017, you heard stories about having different paying options on the site. So yeah, I can imagine in however this goes down, like imagine new features being added, like to get more in the realm of like a traditional Spotify sort of streaming service. I feel like they're looking to go down that route because it's just so popular, but I don't know. I feel like they still have a niche and they probably should stick to the niche they have, that they own, really.
I suppose that is the concern then of, well, SoundCloud, but also like potential investors, is understanding that the niche they have is their selling point, but how to make that into a more profitable business model without just becoming another like copy and paste streaming service. Because I think like you said, SoundCloud has evolved from what it originally was, but I think the music industry, and particularly the way people access music, has evolved so much and is so vastly different that it does leave kind of platforms like SoundCloud in this kind of tricky position where it's like, well, how do they continue to be viable in a market where like Spotify and Apple Music predominantly kind of hold the most sway in that space, even if SoundCloud is fulfilling a niche that those platforms aren't? Is it enough to be drawing people in a profitable way? So I don't know, I think it'll be an interesting one to kind of watch.
Yeah, I think there's room for them to expand their market, but it's by playing in more into interesting niches that they could take up. I mean, particularly what's going on with Bandcamp at the moment, where their editorial staff has been gutted now, it seems like. And it just has the sense that it's kind of still running, but it's slowly going to be degraded over time. SoundCloud could potentially take that space, right? They've got the back end for artists. They know how to do that. They could provide simultaneously streaming, some kind of streaming service. And if they expanded to a kind of payment store, they could try and take over that more independent space. And in the past, maybe you could argue, well, Bandcamp was an independent thing, so it made more sense. But at this point, you know, they're owned by, you know, whatever investment firm we talked about. SoundCloud could take that business, and particularly if they really focus on, we're doing what, like, the best thing possible for artists, I think that would actually win a lot of people over. Because I think a lot of people were kind of taken in by the whole Tidal, you know, pays artists slightly more on streaming. But I think, you know, at this point, everything's kind of been ground down to the same fractions of a pence. So yeah, people are maybe looking for something a little bit different. I think SoundCloud could take that step, but it'd take time, and it's not going to be like huge money coming in. It's going to be like small bits of revenue from different areas. So you would really have to have the right buyer who understands that to take them in the right direction, I think. Right, let's get on to our review for today. We're looking at Letter to Self by Sprints, released on the 5th of January 2024 on City Slang. It's 39 minutes long. The Bandcamp page for the album says, quote, Sprint's debut album, Letter to Self, embodies their substantial evolution over the past 3 years, transforming pain into truth, passion into purpose, and perseverance into strength. The Dublin four-piece have steadily grown in stature, releasing two acclaimed EPs and building a fearsome live reputation. Letter to Self is a sound of Sprint's consolidating and levelling up, exhibiting their most vulnerable moments and imbuing their visceral garage punk with a palpable sense of catharsis that we can all benefit from.
Wow.
That was stunning.
What did we think of this album? James, do you want to kick us off?
I think Bandcamp stole some of my words. That's fine, I'll repeat them. I enjoy this album so much. First of all, the instrumentation was fantastic. The guitars really stood out when they needed to. And there were some great solos in there and effects. I think the bass was great. It did things that I didn't quite expect, but fit in really well. There was definitely some low points throughout the album. Not low points, but like not as good points in the second half, but they were like kind of quickly passed. And yeah, it continues with that energy that I loved in the first part. I think the lyrics played a major part in the album. Carla Chubb, who's the lead vocalist, did incredibly well to emotionally tell what I assume is her story. And I think it really affects, as a listener, affected me at least. There are many metaphors that she uses for the story that she's telling, which work fantastically, I think. They're metaphors that don't lose you. They're like easy enough to understand you, that you'll get them instantly, but they have the effect they're trying to display. Many songs feel really cathartic, like we've heard already. But that music goes along so well with the themes. The guitars, the bass, the drums, it just works so well along with those lyrics, and just her vocals were just so emotional and so impactful. The theme itself is similar throughout, so if you're looking for something that changes up, or you want the theme to change up, then you're probably not going to get that. She talks about different things, but it is all about that catharsis, about just throwing herself onto the page. The sound itself does vary, though. I mean, it is a similar sound throughout, but it does vary, and I think it does a good job for that. Good job. It does a good job to engage you. So I thoroughly enjoyed this, and I'm looking forward to listening to it again.
Elle, what did you think?
Yeah, I also really, really loved this one. I think, yeah, James, like you said, and like Bandcamp said, there are real moments of catharsis throughout the whole album, but also those moments of vulnerability. And I think it's that balance that they've struck, which is just done so well. So when you kind of, or when I first listened to the album, I was kind of faced with this, you know, explosive sound. And I was like, yes, I really enjoy this. It's got these kind of classic rock elements. It's got some pop punk elements, some alt rock elements. I was like, these are the kind of things that I really enjoy. So I was like, it's a little treat for me because I enjoy those genres. And they do them really well. There's, you know, some gorgeous bass. The drums are just class. And they really kind of helped then to play into that contrast between the vulnerability and the catharsis, where you get these kind of crescendos and then these slightly stripped back moments. And I really, really enjoyed that. And then the kind of more I listened to it, particularly on repeat listens, where I started to kind of pick out lyrics, so much of it I really, really liked. I think, yeah, like you said, James, it's not that they're covering like a huge breadth of topics. It is very much, as the album title says, a letter to self. I think it is a letter to the lead singer. And I think she captures those kind of specific emotions or kind of pain points that she's exploring really, really well in a way that does feel very intimate and very personal, but also kind of, if there are facets that you can relate to and there are kind of bits where I was like, oh, I feel like, you know, that's kind of similar experience or feeling to what I've had, that then really hits. But I think even if you're not directly relating to it, there are still some kind of sucker punch lines in there. And again, like you said, James, the kind of vocal delivery is so good that you're like, oh God, it, you know, parts of it, you're like, it doesn't really matter what she's saying. It's just so good because she's kind of saying it in such a kind of powerful and raw emotional way. There are also kind of multiple moments where like lyrics are repeated, almost kind of like mantras. And I felt that those things worked really well as well, because they kind of reiterate certain points and they also just slotted in nicely with what was happening sonically with the instrumentation as well. And yeah, I really, really enjoyed this one. I think it kind of right up my street, and also I think a fitting one for like the start of January, because it's a little bit bleak, which I feel like January can be, because you've got like the come down from like festive season and no one's got any money and it's dark and it's cold. But it's also a little bit optimistic as well, which again, I think is right for this time of year, because it's the whole thing about like a fresh start, and also the days are finally like getting lighter and, you know, spring will be here soon, hopefully. And so I felt like, oh, it was a good one for this point in the year. But I do envisage myself re-listening to this throughout the whole year.
I'm going to be the odd one out a bit here. I think it's a competent alt-rock album. I think the elements are all done pretty well. I think the vocal delivery, like it's been mentioned, is really strong. I enjoyed the bass lines as well. I think the drums, particularly for this style of music, are actually really tastefully produced, and often they are just slammed into a limiter with this kind of stuff, so I quite enjoyed the sound of that, and I think the sound of the album in general is really good. And if you're into, like, this kind of alt-rock, I think that, you know, it's a solid album. But for me, I feel like what I missed was, and you've both commented on the lyrics, for me, the lyrics just felt a bit standard. I felt like there wasn't all that much detail in them. Like, a lot of the songs, there is a lot of that repetition, which I think is fine, but I feel like that the intervening moments between the repetition, it's not really painting a picture for me. It's kind of playing to tropes of this style of music. And I'm sure there's some underlying meaning that is deep for the writer, but it just didn't play for me. And we can get into some specific points where I feel like it doesn't work in my mind. But yeah, that was just kind of my disappointment with it, where I feel like there's a lot of potential. I'd be interested to hear what they do with a second record. But this one, I think I enjoyed it enough listening to it this time. I'd recommend it to people who are fans of the genre, but I don't think it's one I'm probably going to come back to all that much.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way, not in terms of like what she actually sung, but for me, the repeating did happen too much. I wasn't the biggest fan of that. But yeah, I did enjoy the lyrics themselves.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I also agree that there is a lot of repetition. And whilst, like I said, I did enjoy that at points where it does become a mantra, and where I think actually the lyrics benefit from that repetition, particularly when they're kind of placed within like a certain moment within a song, I think they can work really well. But I do agree that there was a lot of it. And I think particularly if you're kind of listening to the album in one sitting, you're like, oh, this feels perhaps slightly overused as a technique. And I do agree that there's not necessarily kind of lots within the lyrics. But I think for me, what is there, I really liked, because I felt like those kind of little touchstones of emotion or of a specific experience, I felt were done really well. And I think also a big part of it is that a lot of it I felt I could relate to it in some way. And I think that that does then have a big impact on whether you're going to kind of enjoy lyrics, if there is some sort of connection to them. When they're kind of as perhaps straightforward as these are, I think you have to kind of have that emotional pull to really kind of feel like you're properly like, oh yeah, no, this is class. Whereas I do see, like, if you're not perhaps relating to, like, you know, growing up queer in a Catholic household, maybe it's not going to hit quite as hard. But I don't know. I think I do, yeah. The lyrics aren't, like, the most detailed or in-depth, but I enjoyed them all the same.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely an element where I'm just, like, not jiving all that much with the music. And then when the lyrics feel quite straightforward, you know, there are plenty of albums with kind of trivial lyrics that I really like, and it's because, like, it's not even something that comes into the equation. But when I'm not, like, super into the other stuff, it just becomes, feels like it's, like, amplified as an issue. I think, you know, the track where I'd really pull it out, just because I'd, just based on the title of the song, I'd expect maybe it to be the one where the lyrics might come through, as track 8, Literary Mind, where I feel like even within maybe what they're hinting at, there might be like a cool concept to do a song about. But if you like just thinking about what the lyrics are actually saying, like, there's like nothing there that feels specific to one person. Like, the verses are kind of general, maybe I'm seeing someone and I'm into them, and then the chorus is kind of just describing them physically, and maybe there's some underlying meaning to that, but it's just gone way over my head. But it just seems so like straightforward, and that's not necessarily always a bad thing, but it just, I don't know, it didn't feel like it didn't take me anywhere. You know,
it's funny. Yeah, Literary Mind, that track is the one I've said that the instruments sound like an afterthought after the lyrics, meaning like I was focused on more of the instruments. I wasn't really listening to the lyrics in this one, because I don't know, it's just the instruments didn't stand out too much, so I kind of turned off a bit. And that's what I was speaking about earlier. Oh, there were some points in the album I didn't like so much. And yeah, I don't really, the lyrics weren't really memorable in this one. So I haven't written anything down for the lyrics. But yeah, I guess they were not memorable for a reason.
Yeah, I will admit I was disappointed by this one, because yeah, like you said, well, with a track title being Literary Mind, I was like, oh, maybe we'll get some like cool intertextual references, or, you know, I don't know. I think I built it up in my head. I was like, oh, that'll be one that I really, really love. And then because it then didn't deliver on what I'd assumed it would be, I was like, oh, that's a bit disappointing. I think it's like a nice enough song. It's definitely not my favourite on the album. But yeah, I do agree that there's, I don't know. It's not that if you call a track something like Literary or you know, something like that, you then owe the lyrics to be that. But I think there was something where I was expecting something more from the lyrics on that track in particular, because of the track title. And it is just quite, I guess, like maybe even slightly bland, which is disappointing, because I feel like there's so much that you can do with that kind of concept of, you know, well, just being attracted or being in love with someone else. Like, my God, every other song is about that. Like, there's so much you can do with it. And for them to, like, not then play into kind of the Literary Mind and really do something with that, I was kind of disappointed. And I think also as well, like, her vocal delivery is so good. Like, she has such a skill with the way she's delivering, like, a lot of lyrics, that I think it's almost a waste for that to not be utilized with some like real, whoa, that was a really cool lyric that references, I don't know, the Iliad. I don't know why the Iliad was the first thing that came to my head. But I think it's a shame because I think there's a potential there.
I'd like to talk about where I think potential was realised. And that's in Shaking Their Hands. I think not just the lyrics, but how it was delivered. So, I don't know, 2/3 of the way through, there's a male vocal that comes in, but the male vocal is singing a different, some different lines to the female vocals. It's like lines from earlier in the song, and the female vocals are singing some different lines. And I thought that was really well crafted, and I think it happens again once again in the album. But that was really cool, and I did like the lyrics in this one about counting. Well, let's find it. And I'm counting the minutes until the clock strikes six. I'm counting down the minutes until the ceiling hits. I'm counting down the days. So yeah, it's kind of like just looking forward to the... For me, it might be wrong, but it sounds like counting to the end of like a work day or something like that. Just every day you're just kind of counting down, just kind of like plodding along, hoping the day to be over, basically. Yeah, and I enjoyed that theme. This is one where the instruments were less in your face, but they were still good. I enjoyed the clean bass under the more distorted guitar. And yeah, it still had that anticipation in the build-up of the music. Yeah, I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I really liked the roomier feel to it, where it wasn't so in your face and it felt like everything was a little bit spacier. I like, there are a few other moments on the album that we might get to later where I feel like they switch up the sound just a bit, and I feel like it's enough within the concept, within the context of the album, for me to go, oh right, I remember that one, I really liked that one. Although, and they're a band from Dublin, so I don't know why they would have done this, but when I saw the song title, I was like, is this going to be like an angry song about Boris Johnson? But then that wouldn't really make any sense. But I feel like someone should pick up that concept. I feel like that could be good.
Right, well, Will, I look forward to you producing that as a concept album about Boris. But no, I also really like this track. And this was one where, kind of going back to like the repetition of lyrics, I felt it works really well on this track because it, you know, reiterates like what they're saying in terms of like counting the minutes, counting down to something. That's a repetitive act in and of itself. And like you were saying, James, I also kind of took it as like counting down to the end of the workday, and then the repetition of, and I'm shaking their hands, kind of like going through the motions of meeting people at work. And I felt that then the repetition again, like reiterates that, how it's the same thing day in, day out. There's no variation to that routine. So that's one where I was like, oh, that works really well. And I think that's an example of like, yeah, it works on this track. I do agree that it's kind of used perhaps too much on other tracks. But that's not to say it's not used well, like on this one. Like, I think basically they were like, oh, we'll run with this whole repetition thing. And there are occasions where I'm like, yeah, that works within the context of the song. And there are others where I'm like, did you just do this for fun? I don't, like, what was the goal here? But on this one, I think it's a really kind of skillful way of, like, reiterating the concept of the song.
Yeah, another track I think that does that well is Can't Get Enough of It, which I gravitated towards because I think it's got like a bit of an American rock feel to it. Like it feels a bit Springsteen-y for me, which made me like it a bit more. But in the lyrics, it's kind of talking about like the aftermath, I guess, of an abusive relationship. And I feel like this one did have a bit more of something to it that I could kind of pick out. And then obviously they're using that repetition to kind of represent this cycle that they're stuck in and how their mind can't get off of it and they can't kind of escape this thing. So again, yeah, the repetition works to a purpose here.
When the song started up, I randomly got thrown back to Kasabian. I think it was just the kind of the way the bass was just strummed along and the effects used on the guitar that made me think that. But yeah, in terms of lyrics, yeah, I really enjoyed the line. I still shiver every time I hear the door shut. I still quiver every time I hear your name. And yeah, that is just so impactful. And you know, you can relate to it without having to relate to it. it just describes what she's feeling. If you can feel that nightmare in her voice.
Yeah, I agree. This was one of my favorites from the album, because I think, like you've both said, it just captures that feeling, that emotion really well. And I also really enjoyed the twist on, so it's got the lyric, "This is a living nightmare and I'm living so scared," which I enjoyed as a kind of like use of living in the different ways there. So a living nightmare is kind of like a common phrase, and then the "I am living so scared" as a kind of like using it as that verb. And I think there is something about that, like the way you're living and the way you choose to live being quite a core theme on the record. So on other tracks, it kind of talks about her making the choice to, I guess, like be open with herself and who she is and those kind of things, and kind of rejecting other people's ideas of what her life should be. And I find that particularly in the final track, where, again, we've got some repetition. Anyone surprised at this point? But she repeats the lyric, "But I am alive." And it's done in such a way that it kind of really is like enunciated, and you're like, oh, God damn. Like, it feels in a way almost like a mantra to herself, like a reminder, like, I am alive. Like, this is, you know, my life and, you know, I've got to live it. But also a kind of like F you to everyone else, because the lyrics in that track also talk about kind of, you know, other people putting their ideas of how she should be living like upon her, and their expectations, and, you know, not treating her well. And so that kind of repetition of "But I am alive" just kind of being like, yeah, well, you tried to knock me down, but I'm still here. So stuck on that, I guess. And I think that then works really well. And I like that as a closer to the album as well. I think it kind of surmises a lot of what the record is trying to say, in quite a neat little package, and being like, yeah, well, here's the whole point of it. Like, I'm still going to just be who I am. And that doesn't mean it's going to be, you know, sunshine and daisies and super easy, but it's worth doing. And like, that's what I'm going to take forward, which I think is a nice hopeful note for what can otherwise be quite a distressing album to end on.
One other track that I thought brought something interesting sonically was "A Wreck, A Mess," which I thought added a bit of kind of punk flavor to the sound and felt, you know, maybe just a bit different from some of the other stuff. And again, kind of, I felt like that back half, I mean, "Shaking Their Hands" on the front half does do something a bit different, but I felt the back half did what I like in albums that are quite kind of set in a sound, that it kind of tried a few different things, and kind of the front half is generally quite similar, and then the back half is a little bit more experimental.
I didn't enjoy how the album opened up, though. You get this track, which is quite cacophonous, deliberately cacophonous. And I don't know, that kind of sets the tone for the album, really. It sets kind of like what her mind's going through, really, is this harsh sound. Like, you have the chromatic tune of the guitar, and then the vocals just going against that, basically. I think it's quite a bold start to start an album with. But then, like, things start to come together, and then you get this catharsis with the, like, the big crescendo. The guitar was simple, but it was pretty cool. And then, yeah, the guitar's doing one thing and then it starts tremolo picking that same tune. I just really enjoyed that. It kind of followed the theme of that, the ringing in her ears, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, this one, the opening track, when I first listened to it, the first note I wrote down was, I feel stressed, because like there's such like an onslaught of sound. And I was like, oh God, that's, you know, it immediately kind of got my emotions stirring. So, you know, kudos to them for that. There was no like easing into it. I was like, oh, okay, I'm locked into this now. And I think what I enjoyed this one more on re-listens, I think, because I then kind of felt like it set up themes quite well. Like you then get some more repetition. And so you've got, like at one point it talks about, where is it? Yeah. So she repeats, am I alive? Am I alive? Am I alive? Which obviously then kind of echoed in the final track, kind of like almost answering that question. And so for me, it was one of those tracks where I was like, oh, I feel like I'm getting more from it when I re-listen to it and listen to it within the context of the album. But I will say, yeah, that kind of initial listen, I was just like, oh God, I feel stressed. And then the kind of repeated mantra of maybe I should cut my hair off, I was like, is this like an intrusive thought, like in my own head? Like, should I go and cut my hair? So it left me feeling quite unsettled. And it was one that I then, like, on re-listen, I was like, oh God, is this just going to, like, make me feel stressed again? And then I then quite, like, enjoyed it and was able to kind of, like, pick out more. But it was, yeah, it was definitely an interesting way to open the album, because I was like, oh, I feel a bit confronted by this song, which was, like, a lot to take from track one.
I love the image of us listening to this album this week, like, joining Discord, and all of us, all of our heads have been shaved off. This is what the album does to you.
Yeah, all of us are gonna just like pull off a hat and it's just like, yep.
Right, so where would we like to rank it?
It's a tough call.
I think it goes above and below.
That's really insightful, actually. I agree with James.
Yeah, for me, I might not go quite as high, but I'd probably put it, you know, mid table for what we've listened to this year. And you know, it's been a year of reviewing great albums, so you know, just to put it in context, we've reviewed lots of really good albums. So you know, sometimes albums end up a bit lower than you might expect. But, you know, don't take that too negatively. Right. Letter to Self by Sprints goes in at number one.
Ooh, yeah. New list.
How did the old one go?
I don't want to look at the old one.
Don't mess it up this year, everyone.
Don't bring up the old one. We've just put that behind us.
It's a very well-polished floor. Let's be very, very careful. Right, let's get on to upcoming releases. What's coming out this week that you need to know about? First up, one that you probably don't need to know about, because my guess is that it's going to be terrible, but you never know. The music press seem to be excited. Green Day are releasing a new album. It's called Saviors. What do we think their last good album was?
Oh, it's been a while.
When was their last album?
Revolution Radio 2021, maybe. Have they done one after? Oh no, they did the other one, didn't they? The unicorn one.
Yeah,
I've completely forgotten about that.
Their last album was 2020. That was Father of All, and then Revolution Radio was 2016.
That doesn't feel right.
So it's been 4 years since their last one.
Okay, I'll allow
it. I'm sure
it.
4 years ago was 2016, but no, 4 years ago is 2020.
It's shit.
Yeah.
It's terrifying, isn't it? I don't trust it.
I don't know. I'm going back and forwards in my head of whether I'm going to say that 21st Century Breakdown was a good or a bad album. So I don't know. Depending on how you feel about that, it's either been 15 or 20 years since their last good record. So, you know, we can live in hope.
Maybe this one will surprise us.
Maybe.
In a good way or a bad one?
I want to leave it open so that, you know.
Green Day's new album, it's worse than you ever could have expected.
Oh, wow, that's bad.
Next up, Sleater-Kinney are releasing a new record. It's called Little Rope. And finally, Glass Beach are releasing a new album called Plastic Death. I'm very excited for that one. Glass Beach are cool. Right, that's it for upcoming releases, and that's it for the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you, James and Elle, for joining me.
Thank you.
Yeah, cheers.
We'll have a new review for you every Monday of the year going forwards. If you like this show, you can subscribe on your podcast service of choice. New episodes, as I say, come out every Monday. But if you're likely to forget, you can turn on notifications in your podcast app, and Google is your friend there if you don't know how to do that. If you want to get in touch with us, you can drop us an email at unmutedunmastered@gmail.com. I can now announce that the album for next week is No Place Like Home by Vacations.
Oh, sick. I didn't know. That was a surprise to me there.
That was a genuine reaction.
Live, on air.
I'm glad someone else is excited because I'm so hyped for this album.
I love Vacations. Like, unreasonably. I'm really hyped. Wow. What a treat. Anyway.
It doesn't sound real, but it is.
I know. I feel like I don't sound sincere. I am genuinely.
I don't know that I've ever seen Elle this happy.
Genuinely, that's really excited me. Don't have a lot going on, you know. It's the little things. Sick.